Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castell with a look at week two of the August 2014 celestial timings. And we begin this week with August 8, 8, 8, a double 8 in the numerology of the day, sometimes referred to as 8, 8 Lion's Gate, because the sun is in Leo, that's connected to the lion, but actually the sun doesn't move into the constellation of the lion officially until August 10th, and it travels through that constellation until September 16th. And this has a lot to do with the fact that signs have to do with the seasons, and the seasons are the constellations are the backdrop that these seasons move through. So, for example, 13,000 years ago, this in the season of August, if we call the month August, and they might not have called it August, they might have called it something completely different, but it would have. But in this time of year, the sun would have been traveling through a constellation we call the Water Bearer, also known as Aquarius. But seasonally, it would not have been the same. It would not have been that season. It would have been the season we're in now. So it would have been after summer solstice. It would have been before the autumnal equinox. So we're looking at how these seasonal signs that have been given certain names, like Leo and Virgo and Libra, they've been given certain names, but they, and you know, different cultures may name them differently, but the constellations are the backdrop that these seasonal signs move through. And that is how our current understanding of astrology works, although a lot of times people don't really get that piece. The other thing that's kind of interesting about this is that Augustus Caesar wanted a month named after him because July is named after Julius Caesar. So he named August after himself. And August only had 30 days. So he borrowed a day from February, which is why February is 28 days, and to make his month as long as Julius Caesar's month. So just how the calendar has been played with a little bit, interestingly. And that this was, of course, prior to the institution of the Gregorian calendar and how we experience it now, that is totally based on the solar, like it's a solar calendar, but it's not even connected to solstices and equinoxes. It's just an arbitrary date that it starts on January 1st. But it used to be that in the Julian calendar, it started on March 1st. So why the month like September, which September means seven, is actually the ninth month, and the month of October, which stands for eight, octo is eight, is actually the 10th month. So because they added or, you know, created a different starting point, a different New Year's point, with January 1st. So that's a whole other conversation, but just kind of a little bit of interesting calendar, you know, how our current calendar isn't necessarily linked to anything that is like many calendars start with a new moon or a full moon close to an equinox or a solstice. but we just have a very set specific date. It has nothing to do with the lunar calendar at all. Although the lunar calendar can have its own challenges of shifting at the times around as well. So the solar calendar can make sense in some ways and helps us to know when we're going to connect, what time it is. But then the timings that are framed within that, the getting back to how do we know what phase of the moon it is, what season of the year it is, what time it is for Venus, what time it is for Mercury, what time it is for Mars or Jupiter or Saturn, the planets that we can actually see, getting involved in those cycles. And that's a big gift that comes from working with this in a regular way. So also on August 8th, the moon is going to pass Pluto. There's a little star map that shows where the moon is in the written version, because we can't see Pluto. And one of the things that happens is that whenever the moon is with Pluto, it helps to magnify and illuminate and increase the intensity of the disintegration or the collapsing of the old structures. So interestingly, I just read an article that is referring to the collapsing of the ice in both the Arctic and Antarctic, and it's happening much faster than scientists originally thought that it was going to happen. It's a little bit scary, but it is the collapsing of a structure. So I think it's interesting as we have Pluto going through Capricorn, which is about the disintegration of the old structures that don't serve. So perhaps this is a part of that, but it is increasing the intensity of weather patterns, that the oceans are rising. They're rising with the melting of the ice, and that causes, they're also warming up, and that causes the storms to be more intense. We've had more superstorms recently than ever before that we've kept track of. And that's just going to continue to intensify. So we have this collapsing of the old structures. But the good news is that the shift to solar and wind power is happening quicker than anyone could have ever imagined as well. Because it's more economically feasible. And there's been a lot of resistance to the idea of climate change, and which is, you know, how anybody can be in denial about that now. This doesn't make any sense, but oh well, that's true. There's still people who are saying it's not true. But the fossil fuels are becoming quickly obsolete because they are too expensive. So the good news is that we're quickly shifting, and these structures are changing more rapidly than was previously thought that could happen. So that's the good news of how this disintegration, this destruction of the old forms that Pluto and Capricorn is bringing about is supporting. So anyway, also on August 8th, the Sun and Mercury are together, and Mercury is direct. So this is the phase of the Mercury cycle that we refer to in shamanic astrology as the psychopomp, or the guide for souls, the one who can access the other worlds. And, you know, we could look at it from the model of an underworld or lower world, a middle world, or celestial world, an upper world, the three worlds of the shamanic model. But there's many, many worlds within each of these worlds, multidimensional, and Mercury has access to them all, and especially in this particular phase. So when also Mercury's in Leo, it's about having the courage to be creative and authentic and communicate really what the true essence is, and to have access to that radiant creative light of Leo to help support the ability to really see what comes next as a leader, and being able to communicate that to others, and to be able to help support others in accessing that knowing that isn't necessarily logical and rational. It's intuitive. It's Leo is a fire sign. So the intuitive aspect of it, now intuitive not meaning what you feel, which is sometimes intuition has been connected to that, but it actually goes even beyond that. It's something that's very quick. It happens in an instant, and it's like a knowing that comes beyond any feeling or logic or reason. It's just there. And so we have great opportunity to tune into that more deeply as Mercury is actually traveling with the Sun for quite a bit of time. It went into the underworld, or disappeared in the glow of the Sun on August 1st, and then will reappear in the evening sky on August 18th. Although Mercury is sometimes elusive to see, so perhaps will be seen on August 18th, depending on your horizon line, and if you maybe binoculars or some way to see it. But anyway, that's when Mercury is becoming visible again. So on August 9th, the Moon will enter Aquarius, which opens the Aquarius full moon window, and the Sun and Saturn will square each other. The Sun at 16, almost 17 Leo, Saturn at almost 17 Scorpio. And they're going to be forming a T-square to a star that is called Salison. And it is in the constellation known as Delphinus and Delphinus. This constellation is the dolphin. in Greek, and from the Greek, Delphi, Delphus. Delphus means dolphin. And Delphus, I-S, is dolphin, and Delphus, U-S, is the woman. I wrote about this in the written version of the Timings. Anyway, the dolphin energy is very significant in this particular full moon, and you'll see in the written version of the Timings the moon in alignment with the dolphin. I put some images in so that you could see that, and particularly connected to this one star called Salison. And interestingly, because the Aquarius full moon is about novelty, it is about, you know, what is it that helps to stretch our awareness into new arenas and to create new ways of perceiving our reality. And Delphinus, the star Salison, is one that is actually the name of the person who found it, Nicholas, and it's reversed. It's like the letters of his name are reversed, and that's how they came up with the name for that star. So if we think about a reversal of the ways that things have been, and how we've been disconnected from source, and how we've been disconnected from experiencing life in the more expansive, amazing ways, and having more limited perception and awareness of things, this could be, this full moon really activates a reversal of all of that, so we have a more healthy connection and are looking towards actually a bright future. If we think of all the terrible things that have been happening on the planet, there's this opportunity to really tune into this full moon energy that'll be exact on August 10th. So the full moon, fullest rise of the moon will be on the night of the 9th. Then the moon will be exactly full at 11:09 a.m. Pacific time on the 10th. And then by the time the moon rises on the 10th, it'll be a starting to slightly wane. And then the night of the 11th is also going to be a pretty full rise of the moon. And the moon will have by then entered into Pisces. So if you are a person who has planets, angles, or nodes in Aquarius, in the sign of Aquarius, this full moon is very important to you because it's helping to illuminate the Aquarian mysteries and to perhaps have a deeper experience of what these mysteries are about, the innovation, the seeing things in new and different ways, sort of going against the status quo, or maybe not even going against the status quo, just operating outside the status quo in a way to bring in something new and evolutionary that revolutionizes our experience, but also supports and facilitates revolution, evolution. So pretty powerful full moon to tune into. And then just a little side piece on August 12th, will be the 71st anniversary of the Philadelphia experiment. And so for those of you who don't know what that is, it was an experiment that they were trying to move cloak a ship, so that it would not be seen. And what happened was they actually wound up moving it from one place to another. It's disappeared and reappeared in a completely different place. And then it also led to experiments in time travel. And we've got lots of movies. Actually, the 1966 to 67 television series, The Time Tunnel, was inspired by these experiments, as have been other TV shows and movies that have been inspired by that. That was these time travel experiments that were happening. It's probably continue to happen. Anyway, also on the 12th, Venus will go into Leo and energize the divine feminine in her expression that really includes deep, profound experiences of self-love, knowing that she is divine, knowing that she is a queen in her own right. And this is, of course, the time to know or notice how you're loving yourself or not. And if you're not, then what things could you do to help support greater self-love? As Venus will then also be catching up to Jupiter next week, a very close planet-to-planet conjunction. And on the 12th, the moon will also catch up to Chiron and energize more of the healing possibilities of Chiron and Pisces. And on the 13th of August, the Perseid meteor shower will peak, but it won't be a very good year for it because the full moon is going to interfere with really being able to see these meteors. And so as we move to, the other thing about the 13th that's really interesting is that this is considered the Mayan creation day, the celebration of the creation of the world that we live in. And so their way of tracking cycles of time would, place August 13th, as this sort of celebration of this time of creation. And interestingly, this is the time when Orion is directly overhead. And that was a very important constellation to them. In England or Ireland, it was called the High Man. And Orion's hand reaches up to the galactic edge, to the galactic cross right at the galactic edge. And so when the sun sits on the hand of the High Man, Orion, at different seasonal points, that happens over time. So 6,000 years ago, it was the spring equinox that sat on the hand of the High Man. Now it's the summer solstice that sits on the hand of the High Man. It tells us the importance of this constellation. And then on August 14th, the moon is going to occult Uranus, and there's actually going to be several occultations of the moon over Uranus. It's kind of start a series of occultations, and we will have it happen again on September and then November 4th, December 1st, and December 29th. So we have at least five more occultations of the moon over Uranus this year, and it may go on into next year as well. So that accelerates and speeds up the crazy, wild, unpredictable energy of Uranus, the one who really wants us to not get too set in our ways, and wants us to expand our perception, and also can bring in a lot of grace for that change to happen. So that completes this second week of August 2014.